I'd like to invite each of you to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to begin with a text taken from that opening. So very glad to see each of you here this morning and to be able to have engaged in this worship service with you, to be able to see you and to spend this time with you and to spend this time with our God as we gather together in this place. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul instructs the family. And I'd like to focus our attention particularly on verse 4, but we're going to begin reading in verse 1 because it gives instruction to the family in this way. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's that verse 4 that I'd like to focus our attention, though there is, in fact, essence to the text in verse 1, 2, and 3 that we will refer to and will base part of our lesson. What we see in verse 4 is this, that it is possible to raise a child in a hard and heavy-handed way that, in fact, embitters them, that can frustrate them and can bring them to anger regarding the Lord and righteousness. And what the Lord does is says, instead of that, take your children by the hand, lead them in the way that they ought to go before the Lord. There is this invitation to model behavior that is modeled by our Lord Himself. I think this is microphone's acting up.
Excuse me for just a moment. But we are to take our children by the hand, leading them in the way that they should go. And you think about the Lord. That's what He does for us. That's exactly what He does for us. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 27. One of the ways in which Jesus presents Himself is as the Good Shepherd. He says it this way in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Our Lord and Savior uses His voice primarily to lead us. That's His instrument of choice, to direct us, to guide us. Now, to be sure, that does not mean that there is not a time where He uses His staff as a shepherd, to rebuke, to restrain, to prod, to turn, to direct. But His voice is how He directs us to be at home with Him in heaven. His voice is what He uses to encourage us along, to bring us to a mature faith, to bring us to a relationship with not only each other, but with our Father. He is using His voice to bring us home to be with Him forever. And when you consider the use of His voice, and you read what Jesus has said, and what He has then had His Holy Spirit say through the apostles and prophets, you find that He is gentle, kind, meek, which means strength under control, and loving in the use of His voice. The use of His voice demonstrates love. Not just a warm feeling, but active goodwill towards you and towards me. He uses His voice to demonstrate and to share discipline, warning, and rebuke. But even in that, even in discipline, warning, and rebuke, He is never harsh. He is never biting or bitter or moody. He brings us along as a good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And He says, they follow me. The Lord knows that it's possible for us to choose a way of behaving that would frustrate a child with instruction. And so He says, instead of that, you bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, with this lesson, it's not just for fathers. Because I recognize that as a father, I need my wife to support me, to help me, to remind me at times if I'm acting out of line with regards to God's instruction for the raising of my child. I need her support. But this lesson is also for us as adults, as grown children. We need to have an appreciation, a real appreciation for what our fathers, our earthly fathers, have done for us in raising us, though we are imperfect, though they are imperfect. And of course, as children of God, we need to have an appreciation for what our God, our Father, does for us in instructing us and leading us along and bringing us home to be with Him in the after while. Now, there are a lot of different directions and things we could talk about with regards to this subject of fathers and children and the raising of children. But I'd like to suggest three fundamental basic truths for raising our children. And these essentials are just as important for adults as well. And in fact, I believe that they are vital for our lives as children of God. But it's also going to help those of us who are raising young ones to have a proper perspective and direction. Because we need to have each one setting an example, showing both fathers and children what a godly life looks like. And everyone will benefit when we do that. So the first thing I suggest to you is that children need to learn reverence and respect in worship of God. Please turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. You know, when we gather together as a congregation or as families within our homes to worship God, we are present before and with God. That was addressed this morning in the songs that we have sung, in the prayer that we have prayed, and the words which we're about to read in Acts chapter 10, verse 33. This is Cornelius speaking. Cornelius, who is a man who is seeking to please God, he has sent for Peter, and in verse 33 he said, "I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." We are gathered here in the presence of the Lord. Wonderful thought it is that as His children we are invited into His very presence, and that He comes into our very presence. Now, not everyone understands this, and maybe some who understand it don't appreciate it. Sometimes that's evident in the way they conduct themselves or don't participate in the worship of God. It may be half-hearted. It may be lackadaisical, careless, or just a, well, good enough. We're not called to come into the presence of God just to do good enough. We're called into the presence of God to be His children before the very throne of our Father. He deserves our reverence and our respect. And when we give serious thought to this fact, that we come into the very presence of God, whether we're worshiping as a congregation or as families within our home, that can't help but impact, influence, and affect the way we approach God and the way we see each other and the way we help each other to give our full attention, undivided, to Him. It can't help but affect how we participate and engage in the worship of God, so that we sing with full voices, and we read the text of Scripture when we are given opportunity, that we engage our hearts and our minds in the participation of the Lord's Supper, and that we join our hearts as prayers are offered of praise to God and of requests for the sick, for the lost, and for the welfare of this congregation and this world. And I want to see my child and your children have a proper respect and reverence for God when they come into His presence. And I want your help with that. In fact, more than want, I need your help with that. I don't want my child to look at me or anyone else and see an I don't care attitude. I don't want my child to see that this is anything less than the most important thing we could be doing. I don't want to show our children and my child talking, whispering, unnecessary absence, sleeping, or lazy participation in the worship of our glorious Lord, who is above all. Now, our presence here today says a lot about who we are. And that communicates something to everyone who is present. It is an encouragement to me and to all who are here. And it is just as much an encouragement for our young ones, who, though they don't perhaps have a complete understanding of this, they do have a sense that this is important. This is vital to who we are. I want my child to listen when that's appropriate and to sing out when that's appropriate. I want her to bow her head when we pray and turn in her Bible when we're reading. And I want her to listen carefully to the reading of Scriptures. For young men, I want you to be able to see the men who are gathered here. And I want you to say, I want to be faithful like them. I want to serve God and God's people like them. And young women, little ones, young ladies, I want you to grow up and say, I want to find a man who has a heart for God, who's willing to serve God and His people, who recognizes the importance of coming into the presence of God. We are all here in the presence of God. And our children need to learn to seek first the kingdom of God. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. You know, whether we're talking about coming together in a worship service like this or in daily discipleship out in the world, I want my child to learn to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness for herself. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has been presenting the Sermon on the Mount. And He says in part, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, all these things that Jesus mentions here, those are material goods. Not just wants, but needs. The essentials for living. And He says, these things cannot take first place. They don't deserve first place. And you have to have a heart that puts them in their proper place. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not these other things. And I want my little girl, and I want your children, to grow up knowing that being a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ is the most important thing they can be and do. I want them to have an appreciation for what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. As good as it is to have good grades, or make the honor roll, or have a great sports career, whether it's just in junior high school, college, whatever it might be, even a good job, or to be the most popular person in the world, I would rather my child be a disciple of Jesus Christ than those things. But am I helping her to do those things? Or am I neglecting the Word of God to pursue those things? Now, those things may be fine in and of themselves, but we must not neglect helping our children go home to heaven. The Lord said, for what will it profit a man And this could apply just as much to women. It's not a male versus female issue. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul? Well, we're helping to set the stage for our children as to whether they will give up their soul for this world, or whether they will give up this world. Let me start that over again. I want to make sure and say it clearly. We are teaching our children what's important. Are we teaching them that the pursuit of this world is first and the serving the Lord is second? Or are we putting Christ first? And those other things, if they come about, fine. But they do not get in the way. As a father, I help make decisions with my wife. But ultimately and finally, I have to decide. And I have to make daily decisions that the pursuits of this life must not interfere with our pursuit of God's kingdom. That's what God has instructed me as a father to do. Now, schoolwork, summer job, clubs and extracurricular activities, those have a place in a child's life. But they must not become the weeds and the thorns that choke out the word. Those must not become the priority, because they will not ever provide our children or us with eternal life. They can't. It's impossible. In fact, if we're not careful, those things which may be fine in their proper place, they can hinder our child from ever knowing the truth, ever becoming a disciple indeed, and ever going home to heaven. And so as a father, not only do I have to make decisions about those things for our family, I have to first demonstrate this kingdom first mentality and priority in my life in order to effect that in hers. And the same is true for all of you. If the congregation has a worship assembly scheduled, or a Bible class prepared, or a gospel meeting planned, we have to each put God first and show that, demonstrate that. It does a demonstration to our friends, our neighbors, our spouse, our children, and to our God whom we come before in His presence. You think back to what is said there in the text in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Notice what He didn't say. He didn't say, seek often the kingdom of God. After all, there's room for those other things. No, He said, seek first. He didn't say, seek sometimes the kingdom of God. And He did not say, seek when it's convenient. Now listen to this carefully. My goal as a child of God and as a father should not be to force my child to seek first the kingdom. My goal, my aim, is to encourage her, to bring her up so that she wants to and will seek after the kingdom of God for herself. So that she will be a child of God with her own faith in God. And I want to do everything I can to help her, not hinder her. And again, I ask you, help me do that. Show her and these other children and these other children of God, God is first in my life. And I want to go home to heaven, and I want all of you to go home to heaven with Him and with me. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And thirdly, children need to learn respect for authority. And this is really at the basis of all these points. Every grown child is responsible for their own decisions. Every grown child is responsible for their own decisions, but it is our responsibility as parents to teach them to make godly decisions. And underlying all of that is a proper respect for authority. Now, a child's world if you allow me to say it that way, begins at home. That's what they know first. And they have to first learn a respect for authority at home. The Apostle Paul, the words he said a moment ago, which we read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now that presupposes that parents are teaching their children in the Lord, in the right thing. And that's what we have to do. It's important that we raise our children to not only respect us as parents, because we've been given that God-given responsibility, but also that we respect government authority. In Matthew chapter 22, there is a simple statement made there that speaks volumes about the fact that we have to have a proper respect for government. And that begins with me, in my family. In Matthew 22, there's a question asked Jesus about taxes and paying taxes. And the point of it is to try to trip Jesus up. Maybe he'll betray the Jews and he'll support the Roman government. He'll put off the favoritism of the Jews. Maybe he'll say something that offends Rome and then we'll get him for that. You know what Jesus does? He has one of his disciples, in a very unique way, have a coin. And he said, "Whose image is on that coin?" And the answer is Caesar's. And in verse 21, he said, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Now on a coin, there might have been the image of Caesar. Okay, you pay your taxes. But you know, in each one of us, we bear the image of God. We owe our God, our very being. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are God's. If my child sees me not paying taxes or cheating on my taxes, she'll not learn respect for government authority. And the same would be true of speeding or of trespassing or of damaging property. I have to show her what it looks like to respect government authority, whether it's local or national. And so I need to practice what I preach in those things. But let's drill down a little further. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Because, again, beneath all of this, authority in the home, authority in government and things of daily living, underneath all of that, it's important that our children learn respect for God and that they see respect for God. Now, in this case, we have a high priest arresting the apostles because they've been preaching the good news. And he brings the apostles before the Sanhedrin, the council. The apostles there are threatened and they're told not to preach Jesus any longer. So what do they do? Verse 29, Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." And those were not empty words. That's exactly what those men did. They obeyed God and not men. Next thing you see them doing is preaching Jesus. And they're threatened again and they're imprisoned again and they're preaching Jesus. Wherever they are, wherever they go, they do what is right because they obey God rather than men. I need to have that attitude and that practice in my life, demonstrating it before I can expect my child to do that. And the same is true for each and every one of you. Now, we don't just do it because it's best for our child. We do it because that's what's right. Because we have an appreciation for God whom we stand before in this worship and before whom we will stand in judgment. And we love Him. We don't want to violate His will. We trust Him. We don't want to violate that trust. We have faith and confidence in Him, not in the ways of man. And if I don't show my child and everyone around me that I respect God and His authority, not only am I a hypocrite, but I am influencing others that God does not rule in my life. And that will condemn me, and that will bring others to do so as well. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 22. Because if we're not teaching our children to respect authority, first in our homes and in society, in school, in Bible class, how do we think that they're going to do when they're on their own? When they're making the decisions as to where they'll go, whether they'll attend the worship of God's people when the doors are open, or they'll participate in that gospel meeting, or in the sharing of the gospel, or just in living daily discipleship before this world. How are they going to do when they ultimately stand before God for their own choices? You know, the only thing we can do is the best that we can do. And the best is not neglecting the worship. The best is not putting off doing the right thing. The best is not putting other things ahead of Christ and of His work and of His people. The best is to train up our children. In this case, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that is a proverb. It is a general truth that is stated in concise terms. It is not an absolute guarantee. But you know, when I think about what God has said, just in these few verses that we've read this morning, and certainly in the rest of what I understand God's word to say, I know that God has said that I am to raise up my child, to train her up in the way that she should go. And God knows far better than I do that's the right thing to do. And so for that reason, I do this. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. These are not boasts. These are goals that I have. And that I want all of us to have in being a good influence, a godly influence in daily living, in our homes and in this world, as a congregation and as families. There's certainly a lot more that we could teach our children, and we should. But these are some of the fundamental things, some of the fundamental responsibilities that we have been given by God as fathers. And certainly, there is an element to these things which applies to all of us. Let's be a people who engage our hearts and our lives in prayer. Who engage our hearts and our lives in the reading of God's Word. Of putting it into practice in our lives. So that we will raise godly children who will have their own faith. And who will be able to see God one day. Who will have souls that are saved. Listen as I read these final words. These are given by God to His children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, these words that I command you today should be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. That's a good thing to do. Let's do that. If you're here this morning and your life is not right, I want to encourage you to do the right thing. Whether it's through obedience to the gospel, as someone who needs your sins washed away and to be united with Christ in baptism, then I encourage you to repent of your sins and be baptized today. If you're a child of God, you made that commitment. You're living in a covenant relationship, but you're not living the right life that you've been called to live. You need to repent of that sin. You need to pray God forgiveness. And if we can assist you in making your life right in either of these two ways, we want to do that today, while it's today. Won't you please come while we stand, while we sing.